I am officially declaring a national emergency.
Unprecedented times call for unprecedented actions.
Starting tomorrow, NBA play is suspended.
NCAA has canceled the men's and women's basketball tournaments.
Welcome to Managing the Crisis, brought to you by Core Image Studio.
The number of Americans filing claims for unemployment benefits has hit a record high.
There are fears that the Dow will drop and drop quickly.
The media giants are under pressure from a dramatic pullback in ad spending.
Now here's your host, the president of Barrett Sports Media, Jason Barrett.
I'm sure you've heard the old saying, desperate times call for desperate measures. Well, if you're keeping score, the coronavirus right now has a commanding lead on the United States economy. Thanks for being here. I'm Jason Barrett. Unfortunately, this virus has been ahead of us for the past few weeks. There hasn't been a lot of relief in sight. America's been grappling with chaos, it seems like, on almost a daily basis, whether it's turmoil with the stock market, ad dollars evaporating hour by hour. It's been hard to paint a rosy picture when there hasn't been a lot of sunshine to brighten the situation. Nonetheless, we persevere and remain focused on knocking this thing out so we could get back to business and doing what we all love to do. And that's part of the reason why I launched this podcast. Have some conversations with some business leaders to share some insight, hopefully some advice on how to navigate what has become, unfortunately, the number one thing on everyone's radar inside the media industry. The category I want to focus on today is the sports betting space. On this episode, I'm joined by the Action Network's Chief Content Officer, Chad Millman. Chad's been an advocate for sports betting content since it really began to hit the mainstream, but even before that, when he spent time working for ESPN. The projections for the sports betting business prior to this virus wreaking havoc across the nation were for the space to garner $8 billion by 2025. But if you don't have games, or if the way they're enjoyed by fans moving forward drastically changes, how might that impact the future of sports betting? How can radio and TV companies continue featuring sports gambling programming if there's nothing specific to discuss? Better yet, how does a sports gambling brand even approach content, let alone stay calm, retain staff, and think about the long-term game when you're not even fully assembled yet and the short-term pain could become unbearable? Those are all areas I want to spend some time on, and who better to call upon than a gentleman I've known for quite some time, an original at the Barrett Sports Media Summit in Chicago, a repeat guest in Los Angeles last year, that being Chad Millman. Chad, I know there isn't much to bet on right now if you're an American sports fan, so I want to turn our attention to something a little more real and unfortunately a little grim. Are there odds by chance, and you would know, of when this coronavirus will end and life and business will return to normal?
There's no legitimate legal sports book that is putting up numbers about that. It's just way too unpredictable. You're starting to see numbers about, will the NFL come back in August? Will it come back in September? Will it come back in October? Dates like that and markets like that. I think on the overall coronavirus, I haven't seen much about when it will end.
Sports betting has been a huge space. It's been rapidly growing the past few years, and now all of a sudden, sports stops, and all those folks who had been spending money and looking forward to the thrill of competing every night, all of a sudden that goes cold. Where are sports gambling enthusiasts? What are they doing right now? How do they, you know, if this has been such a big activity for them, what do they do when there isn't much to bet on?
You know, it's been really interesting. Obviously, everybody is trying to find some semblance of normalcy in a time that is completely abnormal, especially for hardcore sports bettors. And that goes for the people who make their living betting on sports and the people who cover betting on sports and the people who are more casual fans of sports betting. I know a lot of people that are playing poker. You know, we've got a Twitch channel and we're playing poker games with some pretty high level poker players. The other night we had a match that included a bunch of our talent and some of their friends who happen to be winners from past World Series of Pokers. Scott Bloomstein, who won in 2017, winners from the World Poker Tour. So the games can get pretty intense and they're super fun. And I think that's fun for fans to watch as well. Obviously, people are betting a lot more on horse racing.
Yep.
But mostly people are looking for fun sort of peer-to-peer ways to entertain themselves. You know, we had a pretty big success last week on Thursday. One of our founders, Jonathan Bales, accepted a push-up challenge from another high-stakes gambler on Twitter who asked if anybody could do 2,400 push-ups in 12 hours. Bales said that he could. They made a bet for $2,000. We ended up streaming it on our Twitch channel. At one point, it had more than 8,000 viewers on it as Bales went for the record. He ended up getting it, and what was interesting was a market of more than $1 million blew up around the push-up challenge with other high-stakes bettors betting each other. I know a couple bettors that had more than $20,000 on whether or not Bales would be able to do the push-up. So, you know, they're looking for ways to get their action any way they can.
What you're talking about is ultimately having to be creative at this point. I mean, ESPN the other day had a NBA 2K tournament on television. There has been some talk about the NBA wanting to do a game of horse on television. If those kind of things continue, if that's part of our reality for the next few months, are those the kind of events that will draw some serious action, or has that become basically minimal activity for gamblers?
It's pretty minimal activity. Like, a good example is the NASCAR e-racing or iRacing that's going on, and that's been getting really nice ratings numbers on Sunday afternoons. They just made that legal in Nevada, and they're trying to get it legal in other states as well. I think it's in West Virginia. And the handle wasn't that big. The audience is big, but the betting handle in that wasn't insane. And so I don't know that you're going to get a ton of action on these things, but I think anybody is sort of thinking, we didn't expect to make any money once sports shut down, so any money is better than no money.
Correct. And, you know, I saw a report earlier this morning, and I looked at this situation, as awful as it is, as a great opportunity for the UFC or professional boxing to go. I don't care which part of the world is not affected, go to that spot. It doesn't matter about selling tickets. Go put on some events. People want to watch something right now. They will put money on it. And when I saw Dana White put out a report that he's going to take over an island for 2 months, I just said, who cares? Go there, put it on. People will watch it on television. I mean, right now, I know you're a wrestling guy as I am. WWE aren't putting on the quality of show that you could when you have an audience, but they're still providing entertainment, which right now we're all starved for. So if the UFC were to continue, given the fact that we're so starved for content right now in live action, how would that affect normal betting on UFC? Do you see it spiking higher than usual? Would it be the same?
Oh, I would entirely expect that to be much higher than usual. Look, there is no other mainstream sport that is doing its normal routine of competition. You mentioned the NBA 2K. There's been Madden stuff. There's e-racing for NASCAR. But there, maybe some players are going to play horse, whatever it is. The actual competition has been non-existent. So when UFC comes back, and I think we all are hopeful that it does, as long as it's done safely, I think there's going to be a huge opportunity for a lot of betting, and certainly we're planning on it.
It's been really eye-opening these last few weeks, because so much of what we do, we just always have assumed it's there. There's never been anything like this that all of a sudden it goes dark in a matter of an hour. But, you know, I've been talking with you for the last few years about this space. It's been red hot. It's been one of those categories that a lot of radio, television, print have been hoping that it would catapult the rest of the industry. And then in a matter of, as I mentioned, hours, everything goes cold turkey. So how does that affect you from a content standpoint? Because you were talking to me about, you know, how you've done some poker stuff and you had the push-up challenge. Obviously, so much of your content has been built around action on games and different angles to those games. But when there's no games, that's obviously got to make Action Network's content drastically different, I would think.
Yeah, look, there's no replacing the coverage of games and the preview of games and analysis, especially in the sports betting space, where we are trying to give people actionable information. And our business is built on that. And that's, you know, that's not anything that's going to change. But I will say that you mentioned a key word before, and that's opportunity. And while this is a horrible time for everybody in the country and for all business, we did try to take a step back and think, okay, what are the things that we never have time to do or try as a business because we're always running at peak speed and peak capacity, and the long tail projects that need our attention don't get done. And thinking about, okay, if we could wave a magic wand and actually could stop everything until football starts, which is really the bread and butter for sports business, what would we do? And we're sort of being given that is being forced upon us. So we've thought a lot about social. We've thought a lot about where is the audience going to be. And I actually feel like the past few weeks have been some of the more creative times that we've had in the 2+ year history of the business, where we're being forced to think about how are we activating differently and how are we engaging our audience differently. And the push-up contest is one thing that we tried. We've been doing what's called the NBA King of the Hill tournament, not dissimilar from what ESPN did. We started ours about a week earlier, where our analysts had seeded the top 64 players in the NBA for a one-on-one tournament. And then we put odds against each matchup, mm-hmm. and we did a contest. The contest had several thousand people enter, and it's been helping to blow up our Twitter handle and helping to blow up engagement. And the truth is that from an engagement and video impressions point of view, our audience was bigger in March than it was in January or February. And it was pretty big in January and February because that's football playoffs and Super Bowl. So you need to find the ways to think about what have we been missing and how can we try that now that we have a little bit of time.
I've said this to a couple clients and a couple friends in the industry. You know, this taking place in March, although we don't like to lose the NCAA tournament and some regular season activity, and nobody certainly wants this kind of chaos happening and affecting lives, which is way more important. But when you look at it from a sports standpoint, year to year, March is never really, this isn't September. You know, you lose September and football and baseball playoffs around the corner and the NBA coming back with opening night at the end of October. Like, that's not to mention college football, that right there is a drastically different thing than typically the first quarter of the year. On the other hand, the longer this thing goes on, the more pessimistic we all become because it starts to feel like it's never ending. I want to ask you about, you know, you were talking about how you guys have had to evolve and use, you know, essentially, hey, let's use this time to get stronger on social, create some out-of-the-box content that we normally wouldn't do that now we have the opportunity to do. You guys have worked some great deals with partners like Sirius and Entercom. How do those relationships change short-term when there is no sports betting content?
For Entercom, we're still doing a bunch of the segments. You know, I'm on a few Entercom stations during the week, and it's not anything different than it had been you know, at any point since fall when we started doing it. With Sirius, they've converted to automated programming on the Fantasy Channel, which is where we have our partnership with them.
Yep.
So we have Chris Raybon and Matthew Friedman are now doing 45-minute daily podcasts that are being run in a variety of places and downloaded from the Sirius app. So that when they sort of made their conversion from a you know, not 24 hours a day, but from a live format, we just adjusted with them.
We're all in that short-term mindset right now, trying to navigate unexpected and unfamiliar territory. If ad dollars dry up, how does that impact you guys in the short term?
Well, the good news is we're not an ad business, right? Our business is subscribers, and our business is affiliate, which is basically a referral business to legal sportsbook operators.
I'm sure you're loving that you're in that space right now.
Yeah, so it's nice to be in the sub business right now because that is recurring income, and you know, we have made some moves to be fair to our users, since that we have three tiers of subscribers at you know, $4.95 a month, about $60 a month, and at the highest level, $2.50 a month. And we've obviously, with the lack of sports, have automatically suspended subscriptions and extended the subscriptions out an extra couple of months for people until we think this is over. But there is revenue that comes in from subscribers.
Yep.
And the affiliate business, you know, that's a bummer because there's no sports, and the affiliate business and the customer acquisition business and our partnerships are built around there being sports and events to bet on. If there's nothing to bet on, then it's, you know, the books can't acquire customers. So the ad business doesn't impact us as much as the lack of an affiliate business does.
I want to ask you, and since you work in the odds business and you're good at it, I want to get your thoughts on this. So there was a report a few days ago that Atlantic City casinos are about to be off about $500-plus million in revenue per month due to this situation. Maryland casinos are down roughly 60% year over year. You look at the stock market. Wynn is down 65%, MGM 62%. Caesars 52%, Sands 44%, among others, as far as stock price. You're a betting guy. Is this a good or a bad time to invest in a casino?
Ha! I would never try to give anybody kind of investment advice. I can't say which casino you should buy, but over the long run, I think they're challenged businesses because they are so dependent upon crowds that it's going to be hard for them to reimagine what it is and get crowds back in. That said, they are all building very robust digital businesses. And I know that in addition to sports, the casino games for the digital business components of the various gaming companies are really strong. And so, you know, as they say, I wouldn't bet against the gaming industry.
You know, if you're a gambler, you're going to risk it and put your money there because you think you're getting a good price. But if you're wrong, man, it blows up in your face too. And you're right. Digital is so, so important. And speaking of digital, I want to get your thoughts on this because I've talked to a number of folks over the last few years, and I know there's been a huge appetite for New York going with mobile sports betting. And I know everybody has been hoping that would be the case. And I'm sure you saw Governor Cuomo left it out of his latest budget proposal. If that area doesn't become a reality in the future, how does that impact the future growth in this category?
Look, without mobile, there is no growth. It's plain to see. Just all New York needs to do is look next door at New Jersey, where in five of the past 12 months, New Jersey has had a higher sports betting handle than Nevada. Nevada is a market that's been around for going on 45 years. It's a mature market, and their mobile is not as seamless as New Jersey. New Jersey is a less than two-year-old market and is on the precipice of overtaking Nevada. And not too far behind from Nevada is Pennsylvania, which has been around in less time than New Jersey.
Right.
And that's because they are big states that allow mobile betting. And then take a look at Illinois, take a look at what Washington did. Like, if you're going to allow sports betting, then don't limit it, make it free and unfettered mobile sports betting. And you're going to get the audience and you're going to get the revenue and you're going to get the handle that you think you need when you're legalizing it to begin with. But anything less than that is a waste of time.
What is their holdup? I'm with you. I don't understand it. If you're going to allow someone to go into a casino and do it, and why not allow them to do it on their phone?
Yeah, I can't answer sort of individually why one state is doing one thing, another state is doing another thing. What's been interesting in this process is how political it is. And you can almost see in every state, whether it's, you know, Illinois, which stupidly only allowed you have to register at a casino and then you can bet online. But if you were in the DFS space, you can't come into the market for 18 months. So they basically allowed a monopoly to, a gaming casino, a gaming company there, or in Washington, why like it's only allowed in tribal casinos and you can bet mobily, but you have to be on the property. There's a lot of special interests that are trying to get in the ears of politicians, and it's forcing bad decisions.
I want to ask you about your expectations for the upcoming NFL and college football seasons. Do you see us having a season? Is it one with fans in the stands? Are we dark? Where do you see this?
Well, there's no way for me to do this without my personal hopes interfering with my predictions. My guess is that there will be NFL football maybe delayed and with no fans to start. I have a really hard time seeing how college football is going to be played.
What about advice, Chad, for content operators who are, you know, they've been proponents of sports betting, they've started to weave it into their programming, and now all of a sudden they can't even, you know, touch it because there's nothing to bet on. What would your advice be to, whether it's a radio company, TV company, online brand, as far as going forward with this space?
There are so many ways to be creative, Jace. Like, you know, when I am doing the shows in Atlanta or Baltimore, they have been super thoughtful with Entercom and super thoughtful, and the questions are great. And there is enough happening on a week-to-week basis that you can find something creative to talk about, whether it is a new state legalizing sports betting like Washington did just a couple weeks ago, or the advent of e-racing, or these individual challenges that are popping up every week or so. You know, it's comical in some ways to see what people are betting on and what's getting them excited and how people are getting their action. So I would just tell people to keep their eyes open and be creative.
Listen, Chad, I appreciate the time today. Wish you and yours continued health and stay safe where you are. And hopefully we'll get back to business as usual somewhere in the near future. In the meantime, good luck with Action Network.
Thank you, Jason. Take care.